Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, happy Saturday. It is Saturday, September 14th. Welcome to the South Okanagan Event Center here in Penticton, B.C. And welcome to the Young Stars Classic 2024. Flames and Edmonton Oilers will play on this Saturday night. And prior to the game between the Flames and Oilers, look who is hanging out with us here in the press box here at the South Okanagan Event Center. It is Calgary Flames head coach Ryan Huska with us on this Saturday night. Mr. Huska, welcome to Penticton, back in your old stomping grounds in the Okanagan again, hey?
Very close to it. Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's nice to be in the rink again and watching some hockey.
What did you make, if anything, of the first game? We're kind of talking off the mic, some nerves definitely there in a 4-3 overtime loss to Winnipeg. But what did you make of Friday night?
Well, you almost expected a little bit that the young guys, when they come in, they had no skate in the morning, so they're getting thrown right into a game again. And I thought the first period was a bit of a challenge for us, but they got better every period after that, and that's what you look for. The noticeable guys that I felt were our better players yesterday were the guys that were, I guess you want to call them the pro players that we brought here. And that's something that you do like to see because they have a better idea of what the game is going to be like. So they stood out for me last night, and I'm assuming tonight we're going to see a little bit more from some of the younger guys now that they have that one game under their belt.
How are things on your end as we're less than a week from the start of training camp? How are things feeling? What's the situation like in the head coach's office less than a week away?
Yeah, things are good. Like, we're really excited. When you start this tournament, I think for our coaching staff, you feel like it's go time again. So we've been ready for quite a while. All of our coaches were back in Calgary before the Labor Day long weekend. So you find that at this time you have a lot of conversations. You make sure... you touched on all your video and all your practice plans, and you've changed them 52 times because you're spending all that time together, so conversations leads to something else, and there's a tendency to go down a rabbit hole and maybe over-prepare a little bit, but that's what the summer's for coaches. You make sure you're ready to go and you're excited, and really what I'm looking forward to is seeing the group in our opening meeting for a training camp, seeing the faces of our players that we had last year back together again, and then also being able to welcome some of the new guys in the fold.
You've gone through your first full NHL season as a head coach. Anything that is different, anything that you've learned that you maybe apply going into training camp number two?
There's a lot. I learned every day. I will say that there's lessons, some hard lessons that you learn along the way with how you handle a player, with how you run the bench. But I think those situations make you better. And I know the way I'm feeling right now, I'm much more comfortable this year than I was last year. And I think we've talked about it here probably that every step that you make along the way, you always feel like you're ready. You're comfortable, you're confident, but there's still the nervousness because it's the first time on a job, right? You're in a new role, new situation, and that leaves now. So now you have all your ideas. You're really comfortable. You're confident with where you want to go with it. And honestly, it's just about getting ourselves going, getting started, and feeling good about things again.
So, training camp-wise that would be drastically different from last year, or pretty much the same plan?
There'll be a lot of the same plan in regards to the skates and the teams that we're going to have. It's just such a small camp. I don't even know why they call it training camp anymore. It's three practice days is really what it comes down to.
And then you're playing a preseason game,
back to back.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
What, is it three games in 2 days again?
Yeah. Because we have the Seattle road trip, which... You know, I think Sean O'Brien's probably the most nervous guy about that one because of all the pending Air Canada stuff going on for our ability to get down there. But and then you're right to the split squad game with the Oilers the next night. So it happens really quickly. So it's us trying to get some of the things across to our players. We're going to change. I shouldn't say that. We're not really going to change our systems. We're going to tweak a couple things based on the team that we're going to have in front of us this year. So we're excited about it. Expectation is that our players have done a great job over the summer. They're going to be in great shape when they hit the ice. And I think that our older players are the six guys. When I talk about older players, mostly it's the six guys that we probably all know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
We need them to set the standard for what's going to be acceptable from our team this year. So I'm so looking forward to working with those guys and getting after it.
Those tweaks, I know that you're not going to give away secrets and stuff like that, but will those be noticeable tweaks for fans and people watching?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, we're going to try to be more aggressive up the ice than even we were last year. I think that's important for our team, is that we do a little bit better job of defending the red line in the neutral zone than what we did last year. So I think in turn that's going to make us a harder team to play against. So if we can get a little bit better with our pressure, a little bit with our checking responsibilities up the ice, we feel like we're going to be able to spend a little bit less time in our own zone. And that's something that we're really going to put an onus on early on in camp, and work with our players to get them to be comfortable with some of the reads and the decisions that we want them to make.
Ryan, I remember sitting here with you like probably exactly 365 days ago ahead of a Flames Oilers Young Stars game, and I remember talking to you about young players and fighting for jobs in training camp, and your message was, we expect that. We expect young players to do that, and we saw it. We saw Matt Coronato make the team out of camp, and then throughout the season we saw all kinds of youth infused into the lineup. Same message, is that the same idea going into camp this year, that you expect these few young players to fight and really earn spots in camp?
Yeah, I think the message is now this year it's a little bit more twofold, where there is expectation on the older players to make sure they set a standard and they come to the rink with a mentality that I have to show people that I'm coming to earn my job. That's something that is going to be important for me. And then for the younger guys, I want them to have the mindset that, hey, you're not going to take Mackenzie Weegar's job. Like, that's not what it is. But you can push someone else out of a job. You can maybe push yourself up the ladder a little bit in regards to maybe not starting with our team, but this guy for sure is going to be a call-up with us, with our team at some point over the course of the year. So there's a little mix where I want the older guys to set a really high standard for what we're going to do. And the younger guys, understand that. Younger guys, I'm talking even about guys that were on our team last year, like, it's not going to be given to you. You have to come and make sure that you're ready to take your spot and then demand more. And that's, I just think that's the right mentality for players to have, and that's the way our coaching staff is going to look at it.
You know, I know there is a sentiment out there, not by everybody, but in some circles, that says, well, with PTOs and some of the signings, and you take a look, there's 12 veteran forwards and 6 veteran defensemen, and you know, there won't be room for a young player to make this team or to get an NHL roster spot, opening night lineup spot, whatever it may be. What do you say to that? I've kind of said, they kind of showed last year that somebody proves that they should be in, they'll be in. Is that how you're looking at it this year?
If you can help our team win and be very competitive, then you're going to play. I don't care if you're one of these young guys that's 18 years old or if you're 38 years old. If you can show that you're going to help our team win and be successful, then you're going to get an opportunity to play. And I think that's what all players want. And last year, I think we showed it. We got off to a start that nobody envisioned we were going to get off to at 2-7-1. But if I'm to look at a positive in that situation, which you always want to try to pull out of, we found Connor Zary and Marty Pospisil because of that. So giving them an opportunity to play, to try to bring some life into our team, really solidified them as NHL players. And I have high hopes for both of them this year coming back. But I think when players feel like that opportunity is there, you know, they're going to give you that much more in return. And when you really look at our team, all the guys that played their first games or multiple games last year, it should send the right message to their teammates that, honestly, they're telling you, if you're going to help them win, they're going to give you a chance to play, because we lived through it. So I'm excited to see who does what coming up here. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, we're chatting with Ryan Huska, head coach of the Calgary Flames. Well, let me ask you about those two guys you mentioned. We saw Connor Zary finish the year last year playing down the middle. I think 6 games he played at center ice. What did you see there, and what intrigues you about the possibility of Connor maybe playing center ice this season?
Well, there's 3 guys really that we still every day have conversations about and how we think they could be guys that potentially could play in the middle of the ice. Connor, you know, as you mentioned, Marty Pospisil's another one, and Sharon, who played a lot of the year down the middle as well. Not really guys who you think of their first role in the NHL as a centerman, but all of them can bring a lot of different things to the table that we think could make them a good centerman. So with Connor, when he is controlling the play and having the puck, he's a very good player. And in the middle of the ice, I feel like he gets those puck touches and he's around the puck a little bit more. Marty, it's the speed that he brings to the table. So it's a little different type of look between those two guys. And Sharon's just a, he's a very smart two-way player, and for him it's a matter of trying to find a little bit more bite, if you want to say, in his checking game, because he does a lot of great things in regards to how he reads the game. So I know your question was about Connor, and he's going to get opportunity to play in the middle of the ice, but I mean, I want to see what Marty can do. I know he played there at World Championships. I know he's played there at this the recent games that he was playing for his country to get themselves in the World Championships.
Yeah,
he's played there, so I want to see if he can do it at our level. And the part that I really like about, or I'm intrigued by him, of course, the speed, which we know all about, but it's also the size and kind of the way he plays the game. He brings people into the fight. So I think if we can find a, you know, maybe a spot for him, and he finds a little bit of traction, maybe that's something that we can build on.
Safe to say, whether it's Martin or Connor or even Yegor, mm-hmm. like might see some experimenting and moving parts during training camp in the preseason?
For sure, because they won't all play in the same games, right?
Yeah.
As we get going, I mean, our team's a little different this year, and I feel like the guys, they have to play because we've been off for a long period of time. So I'm not a believer in a veteran can only play 3 of our 8 games. I don't think that's right. We have to do whatever we need to do to make sure they're ready to play come the start of the season for us in Vancouver. So that means guys are going to play. So sometimes that means you know, there will be some experimenting, and sometimes that's going to be like the Kadri-Kuzipost line. Is that still a line that's going to be effective
yeah.
for us, or is it going to be Posp in the middle of Huberdeau and Mantha? Like, we want to be able to see some things. Is it Zari playing with Backlund and Coleman? I mean, there's different things that we want to try to see if there's a fit, and if there is, and we can get to something that really works, then it gives us an opportunity to stay with it sooner than later.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All those line combinations. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, very interesting.
Like I said, I was throwing a few things out, but
I
am being very upfront that I really want to see Marty down the middle of the ice. We haven't seen that at the NHL level yet, and in conversations with him. The way he is, he's like, coach, I'll play wherever you want me to play. You do love that about him, but I want to give him that opportunity and see if that's something that maybe is there for him, because we really know what he does as a winger. Like, he's really impactful as a winger, and I don't want to take that away from him by giving him a little bit more responsibility as a centerman, but I want to see it, just like some other things that you were mentioning. You want to see them, and exhibition is the time to do that.
No, that's very cool, and definitely something that is a real intrigue point going into camp. The one other kind of individual forward I wanted to ask you about was Matt Coronato, who, you know, I know it was a really big learning year for him last year. There was a lot of ups and downs, but I know you had said near the end of the year that you really liked what you had seen from him in that backstretch where he was back mm-hmm. in the NHL. What did you see from him in terms of improvement, progression throughout his first full pro season?
Well, first I will say, like, again, we haven't done our testing yet, but when you look at him now, you can tell he's put in the work over the course of the summer. So that I'm really proud of. When you see a young guy leave here and they're kind of on a mission to make some changes in their physical side of their game, I really like that, because it shows to me that they want to be a full-time NHL player. When he came last year, I think early on, he was riding the wave a little bit. I mean, the NHL started off with us, was playing pretty well, and then it's hard being in the NHL after playing a college schedule. So I think the pace of play started to get to him a little bit. So once we sent him down and brought him back up, he was a player that was much more comfortable away from the puck, if that makes sense. So I thought his responsibilities and the way he handled the structural side of the game for us was significantly better than what we saw at the beginning of the year. And I think a lot of credit has to go to the Wranglers coaching staff for that, because they put in a lot of time with him in that area. Matty's a really interesting guy for me, because he's a lot like Andrew Mangiapane was a number of years ago when we had him in the minors in Stockton. He's not a fourth line guy. So we gave Andrew a chance to play with it was Matt Fratton and Lyndon Bay, and he took off. He blossomed, and his game went from there. I feel like Matty is best suited for an offensive role on a team. Now, that's not saying that he can't impact or can't help your team in a fourth line role, because you can put him in different situations than power play, but you want these guys to succeed. So finding a way to give him an opportunity to see if he can have success with some guys that think the game a similar way, again, something else we'd like to try during our exhibition season without, you know, without rocking the boat too much.
Um, you mentioned those six players, those veteran guys,
yeah.
and could run through. We all know
sure.
it's the Andersons, the Uyghurs, the Backlund, so on
yeah.
and so forth. In your off-season conversations with them, I know Wes and I spoke with you during the off-season. You went and saw Jonathan Huberdeau in Montreal,
yep.
but your conversations with your veterans, what are you picking up in terms of enthusiasm and kind of that buy-in in really trying to help build and set a culture for this year?
Yeah, well, that's you kind of used the word a little bit for us, as we need that from all of them. And when you talk to them over the course of the summer, initially, you know, they just went through a year where they saw a lot of their teammates traded away. They don't really know what's going on. So they're a little bit like, well, not really sure. But as the summer goes along, the draft's done. Now they get themselves kind of closer to coming back here again. It significantly changes. And I think that's because of the quality of people that they are, where they want to be back and they want to be guys that are going to help drive this forward sooner than later.
Yeah.
So we're going to be a team that's not just to our expectations of making the playoffs every year. It's going to be their expectations that's not going to be good enough for us. We're going to drive this forward, and I want to be a part of it. Blake is that way. McKenzie's that way. Cads is that way. Michael Backlund's that way. Hubie's that way. And Andy's that way. Those are the six guys. And if you get six guys tight like that, they're going to pull people with them. And that's really the messaging that we've had for those guys, or with those guys. And it's going to continue. We're going to spend a ton of time with them. And it's not singling those guys out that they're treated any differently. It's not it at all, but they are our key guys. They're the guys that we're going to need to really, as I mentioned earlier, set the standard for what's
yep.
acceptable and what's not acceptable. So there's going to be a lot of conversations and a lot of time spent with those six guys, because it's our staff really working with them, and we're going to have them take that message into the room on a lot of different nights. So I'm a big believer in all six of those guys, and I think the world of all of them, and I think they're going to give us what we're looking for.
Just a couple more. Your goaltending situation,
yeah.
whole lot more up in the air than it was. Like, you knew who your one was last
yeah.
year at this time.
For sure.
There's a lot of intrigue with Dan and Dustin, and now Devin Cooley entering the conversation as well. As the head coach of a team, what is that? Are you apprehensive? Are you excited? Like, when you have a little bit of uncertainty between the pipes?
Yeah, that's, you know, everybody would say it is the most important position on your team. Because there's going to be nights when your team isn't at their best, and you're going to need to rely on them to be a difference maker for you. And when you have a guy like we had in Jacob, he started kind of where these guys are right now. He learned how to be a guy that could be counted on. So for me, I look at more of as an opportunity that I want one of these three guys to grab hold of, because every time you talk to a player, and I'll use Dan in that situation, every time you talk to him, he knows Markey's going in pretty much the next few nights, but they just say, I just want a little bit more opportunity. I can show you I can do this job. Every player is the same way. So when they get the opportunity, I'm very hopeful for them that they're going to grab it and they're going to run with it, because we most definitely do need one of those guys to take the horns and
yep.
go.
Yep.
And the great part for us is they're all three of them are capable of doing it. So I look at it as something that is, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, because people are like, ooh, goaltending. We don't know about these guys because they haven't played a lot in the NHL. Well, they're good goaltenders.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. And one of the things that I like about them, there's a couple really big guys. There's a different guy the way he plays in Wolfie. So it's almost like you're going to see a different style of goaltending every night, which
yeah.
makes your team a little bit more unpredictable as well, which is a good thing when you're thinking about your opponent.
Finally, I just want to go back to something that you said right near the beginning, where you
yeah.
said, hey, you know, like, don't have those same nerves that you had going back to last year, where you were going into your first NHL training camp as a head coach, being a little more settled or feeling a little more confident in your feet where you are, whatever it may be. How can that translate to you doing your job? Do you feel like it can translate to maybe doing the job better, more effectively, or whatever it may be?
Yeah, I don't know if it's better or more effectively. You know, it's...
Or differently, maybe.
I don't even know if it's differently. I think it's more, you know, comfortable in your own skin. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you also know that, you know, in order for our team to get the best version of me, I have to be really feeling good about things. So I've learned over the years, you got to take some time for yourself too. It's funny that someone in my situation that never played in the NHL you always had to work harder than other people to try to give yourselves an opportunity to get to where you want to be. And that's fine and dandy, but if you're grinding, and you're not taking half an hour for yourself to go for a run or to go for, do yoga or whatever it is, then you're not going to be at your very best. So I've learned that a little bit about myself, and doesn't mean I'm not going to grind like I feel like I always have to, again, because if I'm staying in the NHL, I have to do that. That's part of who I am, and I will always do that. But I'm a lot more aware of where I'm at, I guess, and making sure that I'm aware and ready to take that 20 minutes or whatever it is if I need to go for a run to clear my head to make sure I'm at my best for these players.
I do believe one more NHL game than anybody else in this current room. So don't sell yourself short.
Wow. I hear it every day from my kids. It's hilarious. I can never get away from it.
Well, I still... And you're a coach in the NHL. Yeah. You can always throw that right back in the
face. Yeah, and something that I absolutely love.
Thanks for doing this, Husk. Awesome
Thank
to see you.
Guys.
Travel safe back to Calgary, eh?
Thank you very much. You guys, too.